chapter 2, verse 5. Second book of the Bible. March is Women's History Month. And I know I forgot to ask all you all March birthdays to stand up. I'll try to do it after communion. We ain't going to sing no song, but I will let you stand up. That's on me. March is, again, Women's History Month. March doesn't get the press. And Women's History Month does not get the press that Black History Month gets. It's a new month. I don't know when it started. March is old, but the Women's History part is new. And 7 years ago, in honor of my daughter Leah, the Lord led on my heart to spend a couple of weeks each March just talking about some of the great and mighty women in the Bible. And so that's what I want to continue to do today and the next couple of Sundays. Last week I told you I met with a principal of a local high school and decided last week that I'd never be nobody principal. That's a tough job. And there were these kids and their fool parents. Don't touch your neighbor. And we were talking about discipline in her school, and she confided in me that the majority of all of her fights are between Black girls. She doesn't have any problems between the races. It's a mixed school fair, almost half and half. Don't have any problems against the races. Don't have any problems against the honor students and the nerds and the slower kids. Her biggest problem is with Black females. The majority of all fights happen between her African-American female students. And she asked me for some strategies to help her Black girls. I said, you're asking the wrong person. I ain't never been no Black girls. I ain't planning on changing either. You'll get that when you get home. I recommended that she bring the Black women on her campus together and ask them and create a task force. Because if anyone should know the issues that Black women are having, is another Black woman. And so as I come upon this text today, I normally don't use, you're going to see me looking down more than you ever see me before. I don't use manuscripts or notes when I preach, but again, I ain't no Black woman, so I had to write some stuff down. Amen. So forgive me for this. It's going to be new to me. So pray for me that I know how to read and stay on task. You can put the scripture back up. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Stay there now. Listen now. The sister is with her brother. She asked Pharaoh's daughter, do you want a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? So she gets another woman, and the woman just happens to be. I'm just glad somebody passed reading comprehension. Take this child away and nurse it for me. In other words, get your child back. You nurse it, you just let it still feed off of you. But when he is able to change his own underoos, you give him back to me. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. This Sunday morning, I want to talk about black girl magic. I want to talk this Sunday morning about black girl magic. The term black girl magic was created in 2013 by Kashawn Thompson to celebrate the beauty, power, and resilience of black women. She was further inspired by Michelle Obama's speech in 2015 at the Black Girl Rock Awards. And she created what she had already thought about in her mind, black girl magic, into this hashtag. For those of you who don't know what a hashtag is, that's the pound symbol. Thank you, bro. That's the pound symbol. Followed by words that have no spaces in between them. And if you are under 50, you can kind of figure out, all right, that's black, that's girl, and that's magic. You got to figure out the words and where the words are within the long word, amen? So after Michelle Obama's speech, she created that hashtag black girl magic. And any time an African-American female does anything well on social media, you're supposed to put that hashtag black girl magic. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I will let you know, as a historian and a professor of African-American history, I'm not a fan of the terms black and white. These two words are human constructs and conceptualizations to divide us. I really don't like using those two terms, black, and especially calling people white people, because even when you say white people, it has a negative stereotype, because we ain't talking about the good white folk when we say white people, especially when we say white folk. Black, however, as a race or an ethnic group, had its origination in the 1970s after the Civil Rights Movement and the rise of the Black Power Movement. And as I was researching and preparing this text, I spoke to one of my former players at the university. His name is Ibrahim Obame, and he's from Mali in Western Africa. And Mali was the largest empire that this world had ever seen, at one time larger than even the Roman Empire. And I asked Ibby, I said, Ibby, on the continent, do black folk use the term black? And he was like, absolutely not. I said, when you all go to the DMV or you take the SAT or you fill out an application, are there different things you have to check off? And he said, absolutely not. And so race is an American, European, human creation. And the problem about race, it is fluid. Because many of you grew up when the term that was used to describe you was colored. And then when you did fill out a formal application, there were just two things you could select, colored or white. Now if you go fill out an application, or take the SAT, or go to the DMV, it's probably about 10 things you can check. And then there's a line now that says, oh, you want to talk to me now. So you can become whichever you want to become. And that is why I don't like these designations, especially when it comes to just black and white. It's just us versus them, and it's not to bring us together, it's to separate us. But for this sermonic moment, I still want to talk about black girl magic. For really the appropriate term for those persons of African descent is Negroid. We should have kept that term Negro because it is as our phenotype. There are three phenotypes, Negroid, Angoloid, and Mongoloid. But we didn't like Negro because Negro begins with an N. It was too similar in derivation and etymology to another N-word that was offensive. So after being called slaves, after being called savages, after being called pagans, after being called witches, after being called all type of derogatory names, after going from being colored, after being going Negro, in the 1970s, African Americans decided that we were going to name ourselves and create our own identity. And because the dictionaries and others considered black to be dark and black to be negative, we turned that which was negative into something that was positive and began chanting that black is beautiful. And so for a time in the 70s and the 80s, until the Malcolm X movie, we were black folk. And then we wanted to put a dash in between our names and become African American. But for today, we're just going to have Black Girl Magic. Magic. You know about magic. Magic is an illusion that is created by a magician. But another definition of magic is that it is the art of appearing to perform supernatural feats. Magic is the art of appearing to perform supernatural feats. And I would argue that for years, black women, through the help of God, have been performing some supernatural feats. For a black woman skilled in mathematics to have the grace and fortitude to outsmart a group of white men to make sure that the space shuttle re-entered the Earth, that's magic. For a black woman whose feet were tied and refused to stand up on a bus and to live to tell about it, that's magic. For a black woman to run for the presidency in 1974, that's magic. For a black woman who was raped and abused to own her own television show and then her own network, that's magic. For a black woman to send four kids to college without a husband, working two jobs, cleaning up somebody else's home, that's magic. For a black woman to be now the mayor of Washington, D.C., the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, the mayor of San Francisco, California, the mayor of New Orleans, Louisiana, the mayor of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the mayor of Baltimore, Maryland, the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, and in 2 months, the mayor of Chicago, Illinois, I tell you, that's look at our beautiful sisters up there running stuff. And I say here in this text today, we see a black woman, though Egyptian, bring about some magic. For she created, Cilicia, an illusion and a supernatural event by disguising a Hebrew child who her father wanted all dead and raised him right under her father's nose. That's magic. Let me say that one more again. She took a Hebrew child, had his own mother nurse him till he was old enough to give her back, brought him into her home, into her father's house, who was the mean Pharaoh who wanted to kill all the Hebrew children, brought him in his house, made him his grandson, one he wanted dead, kept him alive long enough for God to use him. I say that's magic. And there's somebody in here, there's a woman in here, you've just been keeping God's prize, God's gift long enough until God can use you. You've been through hell and high water with that goddaughter. You've been through hell and high water with that son. But you're working a supernatural feat right now. But just by laying your hand, just by praying and not giving up, because you know God has something for your child to do. For God strategically placed Moses in her life as a foster mother to get him on the inside, let him have a seat at the table. A seat at the table, not for cameras. A seat at the table, not for publicity, but a seat at the table so he could get inside information. And any supervisor up in here, your seat at the table is not about you. It's so you can get the inside information, let people know a layoff about to come. Y'all better start saving y'all money. Your seat at the table is to help others, not so you can sit up high over people. That ain't on the list. That ain't on the notes. That just came in my face. Your seat at the table is not for you. Your seat is always to help others eat off the table. And she raised this boy under the reign of an evil Pharaoh who was concerned that the Hebrew children were beginning to outnumber their population of the original people. She raised a Hebrew child under the nose of a Pharaoh, who was scared that the Hebrew children were about to outnumber the original Egyptian population. Slow on that side. She raised this boy, Terry, under the nose of her grandfather, who told them to kill every Hebrew male to reduce the population of Hebrews in the country because the Hebrew population was about to outnumber their population. Try this for the choir. The evil president, they slow, decided to kill off the children to make sure that they didn't outnumber their population, take all their children's scholarships, take all their children's college admissions, take your job. So instead of building a wall, he decided to kill them all. God had a plan. Anybody know God had a plan? God's always got a plan. And so, just like Denzel Washington's movie, The Inside Man, go watch it on Netflix, borrow somebody else's code. He was concerned that the Hebrew children were too fruitful, and all they did was multiply. So instead, again, of having the one China policy, China used to have that policy, that one China policy, because the Chinese population was growing too fast and too furious, that they made it a law, Erica, that you could only have one child. Well, this fellow said you can't even have that any male that is born, because the male is most important, because it takes a male to have a child. I know it's in your womb, but unless a man shows up, it ain't going to happen. So I'm going to kill off the seed. I'm going to kill off the root. And if I kill off the root, it cannot grow. So there's good black mama. Two of them in here. Because how you say that, Reverend? How can there be two black women in here? This is at the end of their captivity. This is at the end of the 400 years. And if anybody in their family stay in Egypt, which is still in Africa, for 400 years, you're going to have some color. The Pharaoh's daughter already had color. And even though the Hebrew children don't look like they have color now, you look at their hair. You look at their nose. In order to save him, she gave him up. In order to save him, she gave him up. And every now and then, as hard as it is in life sometimes, you got to give people up. As hard as it is sometimes, you got to give people up and just give them to God. After you have tried and you tried, after you have cried and you cried, after you have prayed and you prayed and you can't get a breakthrough, you just got to give people up, baby girl, and let God have them. And I tell you, once you put somebody else in God's hands, take your hands off and let God do the rest. And I know I've got one or two witnesses up in here who can testify that I tried it my way. I tried to handle it. I tried to do it. I tried to counsel. I tried to therapy. But I just had to give them up to God. And once I gave them to God, woo! Some magic began to happen in their life. There's somebody else in here who can be a witness of every knowledge. You just got to give people up and let God have his way. So she gives them up for adoption. She ain't go through no agency. She didn't take them down to the courthouse. Ain't no paperwork was signed or exchanged. She just put them in water. I don't know if you know about the power of water. Anytime water comes, something's about to be birthed.
In the time water comes, something's about to happen. In the time water happens, something's about to grow. You can't grow. You can't nurture. You can't develop without water. You can't be birthed without the water first bring. So she puts the baby in water. And when she puts the baby in water, she puts her trust all in God. And watch what God does. God gave it back. That's why those of you who can tithe can testify that if I give it to God, God gonna give it back. It ain't my money in the first place. If I give God my money, I'm gonna get it all back. I just have to trust God with the right. Hey! So she puts them in the Nile and trusted God for the rest. And another black woman again comes and rescues her child. Again, every now and then, you just got to put your feet in the water and trust God for the rest. And you know the rest of the story. Moses leads the children of Israel out of the shackles of Egyptian slavery. So you think you're on your job for a check just to feed your family, but that ain't your purpose. You think you are dating that unsaved person because they fine. That ain't your purpose. You think you teach because you're in between jobs. That's not your purpose. See, God places where with you where he needs you to be. And you're always going to be at the right place at the right time for God to use you if you are obedient. And the only way that Moses was rescued because he had a mama who understood she was going to save her child. She didn't care what the school said. She didn't care what the counselor said. She didn't care what the therapist said. She didn't care what the doctor said. She said, I'm going to save my child. I'm going to make something happen that is supernatural. And that's why that black girl magic. When they want to put your child in them slow classes, you say, I'll be filling the blank. Oh, it wasn't anybody even come out. What y'all? Y'all the ones with the bad mind. There's no other race or gender persons who can make magic happen like a black woman. It's only a black woman who can make dressing out of old cornbread. It's only a black woman who can make bread pudding out of stale bread. It's only a black woman who can make chicken soup out of old chicken bones. It's only a black woman who can make jeans last for four generations. It's only a black woman who can make a blanket out of old rags. It's only a black woman who can make chair covers out of old curtains. It is only a black woman who can do the things that have been made so that we have been able to survive through slavery, through Jim Crow, and make it to where we are right now. There is no other race or gender of people more ingenuitive, more innovative than a black woman. So today, I say, keep doing what you're doing. Today, I celebrate your magic. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep making supernatural things happen. Even if you head to the gospel plot, keep going home to that knucklehead. He's going to change one day and pray over him while he sleeps. Keep praying for that child. That child's going to turn around. Keep going to PTA meetings. They understand that you don't play, and them teachers ain't going to treat your child anyway.